What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear: strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.
Hurry into Menards right now and save big money. Miracle-Gro Raised Bed Soil helps you grow bigger, more bountiful plants. It provides the right foundation your plants need to thrive with a 100% organic formula that requires no mixing. Add Miracle-Gro Raised Bed Soil to help your plants grow with organic nutrients you can count on. Visit our garden center or check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Ladies and gentlemen, the captain has turned on the fasten seatbelt sign. If you haven't already done so, please make sure the volume of this podcast is set perfectly to your listening enjoyment. Please take your seat, whether that's on the treadmill, car, sofa, or bed, and buckle in for the last trip. My name is Jamie Beebe, and I'll be your tour guide, recreating someone's last days in paradise. On behalf of myself and everyone behind the scenes, please enjoy the Last Trip podcast. And because nobody likes a long flight to get to where they want to be, let's prepare for takeoff. On January 2nd, 2018, 28-year-old Natalie Salazar set out for what should have been just another adventure. She was traveling through southern Peru, exploring the landscapes near Cusco and the Sacred Valley. But on that day, Natalie signed up for a ziplining experience. And she was never seen again. In the days that followed, authorities would piece together a story that didn't quite add up. There were only shifting stories and a moment high above the Sacred Valley that may have gone terribly wrong. Today, we're heading into the Sacred Valley of Peru, where a vacation turned into a mystery that still has not been solved. Natalie disappeared in the Sacred Valley of Peru, a place that, honestly, has been sitting on my own bucket list for years. Along with Machu Picchu, it's one of those destinations that feels almost mythical. The kind of place you don't just visit, you experience. In fact, it's somewhere we've talked about going, maybe even for a honeymoon after the wedding. Although, realistically, after paying for even a small wedding, it might have to wait a little bit. Because somehow, even something simple ends up costing way more than you expect or budget for. But when people think about Peru, they almost always think of Machu Picchu. And what a lot of people don't realize is that Machu Picchu and the Sacred Valley are not the same place. The Sacred Valley is a much larger region near Cusco. It stretches along the Urubamba River, filled with towns, farmland, and ancient Incan sites like Pisac, Ollantaytambo, and Moray. It's lower in altitude, greener, and more expansive. Machu Picchu, on the other hand, is one specific site, an isolated Incan citadel perched high in the mountains surrounded by jungle, usually reached by train or by trekking through the Andes. So when Natalie was traveling, she wasn't at Machu Picchu. She was in the Sacred Valley, specifically near Moray and Maras salt mines, two sites about 30 miles northwest of Cusco that are often visited together. And these places don't feel like typical tourist stops. Moray, especially, doesn't even look real at first. From above, it's a series of perfectly carved circular terraces that sink into the earth like a giant spiral. It almost looks like an amphitheater, or something engineered far more recently than it actually was. But it's Incan. And what makes it even more fascinating is that it likely wasn't just for agriculture. It was experimental. Each level creates its own microclimate with slight variations in temperature, wind, and moisture. There's a strong belief that the Incas used Moray to test how crops would grow in different conditions. So when you're standing there, looking down into those terraces, you're not just looking at ruins. you're looking at what might have been one of the earliest forms of agricultural science. And as a tourist, it feels quiet, open, still, almost eerie, but in a beautiful way. It's the kind of place where the silence makes you more aware of everything. And then, just a short drive away, everything shifts. Because the Mara salt mines feels completely different. Where Moray is quiet and contemplative, Maras is alive. Thousands of salt pools, more than 3,000 of them, are carved into the mountainside, each one filled with mineral-rich water flowing from a natural spring. And as the water evaporates, it leaves behind salt that's still harvested by local families today, the same way it has been for centuries. From a distance, it looks like a patchwork of white, gold, and rust-colored tiles cascading down the mountain. And when you get closer, you realize this isn't just something preserved for tourists. It's still working, still active, still part of everyday life. What makes Moray and Maras so striking is how different they feel from each other. And yet, they exist in the same landscape. You can visit both in a single day, often in the same trip. And it feels like you're moving through completely different worlds. And it was here, in this landscape, between these places, that Natalie decided to try something new. She signed up for a zip line. The excursion she chose, known as Flight of the Condor, is designed to give you a completely different perspective of the Sacred Valley. Depending on the route, some lines stretch from about 150 meters to over 1,000 meters long. You're suspended above the valley, moving purely by gravity, gliding from one point to the other on a cable. Participants can go in different positions, lying flat like Superman, or even upside down. Or you can even mimic the flight of an Andean condor. And that's not just branding. People actually report seeing condors while they're up there. Huge birds soaring through the same airspace, sometimes passing close enough to make the experience feel almost surreal. It's part thrill, part perspective shift, and part connection to the landscape. And on paper, ziplining is considered safe. Generally speaking, when it's run by reputable companies with trained guides, modern equipment, and proper safety protocols, the risk is low. Participants are outfitted with harnesses, helmets, gloves, and secured with carabiners. There are weight limits, usually around 220 pounds. And physical requirements to ensure safety. But that's the key word, when it's run properly. Because not every location has the same level of regulation. Not every company operates under strict oversight. And not every country tracks or publishes safety data the same way. So, safe can be relative. And I say that as someone who has actually done a zipline myself. I went on one in Bali, over the rice fields. Which, if you know me, is kind of surprising, because I really don't like rides at all. But I try to push myself to do things at least once. And I actually liked it. It was short, very touristy, not nearly as dramatic as what Natalie was doing. Mostly I just saw people walking around underneath me. But still, there's a moment when you step off that platform, you're suspended in the air, and you're trusting the equipment, the people, the system, to carry you safely to the other side. And most of the time, well, it does. But standing in a place like the Sacred Valley, surrounded by that kind of vast, open terrain, that kind of history, that kind of scale, it's easy to understand why Natalie would have said yes. Why she would have wanted to see it from above. Why she would have trusted that experience. Because in a place like that, everything feels a little bigger, a little more alive. And just for a moment, you get to be part of it. It makes you want to see more, do more, experience everything it has to offer. And to someone like Natalie, that kind of place wasn't just a destination. She was there learning more about herself.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America. Discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Natalie Salazar was born on September 17, 1989, the oldest of three daughters. Raised in a close-knit family led by her mother, Alejandra Ayala. She was originally from Ecuador, but when Natalie was 12 years old, her family made a life-changing move to Valencia, Spain. It was there that she grew up, shaped by two worlds at once. The roots of her family's Ecuadorian heritage and the rhythm of everyday life in Spain. And by all accounts, Natalie was vibrant, energetic, restless in the way people often are when they feel the world is bigger than the place they're in. She studied physical education, something that suited her perfectly. She loved to move, to stay active, to challenge herself physically. She was athletic, outdoorsy, and drawn to experiences that pushed her beyond her limits. The kind of person who didn't just want to see a place. She wanted to feel it. In her 20s, Natalie built a life in Valencia. She balanced school with work at a local marketplace, settling into a routine that, on the surface, looked stable. But for Natalie, stability wasn't the end goal. She wasn't meant to stay in one place for too long. There was a curiosity in her, a pull towards something bigger. And by the second half of 2017, that pull turned into a plan. Natalie decided she was going to backpack across South America. Not just visit, but cross through it, experience it fully, from one end to the other. It was ambitious, even by seasoned traveler standards. It was a massive undertaking. And South America is vast, unpredictable, and very different from the life Natalie knew in Spain. But that was part of the appeal. She was excited, deeply excited. And her family, while proud, felt something else too. That quiet worry that comes with loving someone who is willing to go so far, so freely, into the unknown. In November of 2017, Natalie said goodbye to her family in Valencia. And it wasn't a casual goodbye. She knew she'd be gone for months. So there was weight to it, emotion in the kind of farewell where no one really knows what the journey will bring. And then she boarded a 14-hour flight to Quito, Ecuador, returning, in a way, to where her story first began. It was the start of the trip she had been dreaming about, a journey across a continent, an adventure that felt limitless. But for Natalie Salazar, it wasn't just a beginning. It also turned into an ending.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Natalie's new year began exactly the way she had imagined it would. In motion, in freedom, in the middle of the world she had been dreaming about for months. By early 2018, she had already been traveling across South America for weeks. What had started as a plan back in Valencia had become something real, something lived in. She had settled into the rhythm of backpacking, of waking up somewhere new, and navigating unfamiliar places with confidence and curiosity. After beginning her journey in Ecuador, Natalie made her way south into Peru, eventually arriving at the Sacred Valley, a place that feels almost otherworldly. The mountains rise sharply in every direction. Ancient ruins are woven into the landscape as if they've always belonged there. She explored Moray, standing at the edge of those perfectly carved terraces that descend into the earth like a quiet echo of the past. She visited Maras, where thousands of salt pools spill down the mountainside, catching the light in a way that makes the entire valley feel alive. It was everything she was looking for and dreaming about. On December 31st, Natalie spoke with her mother one last time. And there was nothing unusual about the call. She sounded happy, grounded, present, excited about what she was experiencing. And she was exactly where she wanted to be. 2 days later, on January 2nd, 2018, Natalie stepped out of her hostel into what should have been another ordinary day of exploring. She was wearing a bright pink jacket, mountain boots, dressed for the terrain, for the kind of day she had already lived dozens of times on this trip. Security footage captured her that morning in the most ordinary of ways. She exchanged money, she asked for directions to nearby ruins. There was nothing in her demeanor that suggested fear, stress, or urgency. It was just a normal, quiet moment, routine, almost forgettable. And yet, it was the last confirmed moment anyone can say with certainty that Natalie Salazar was alive. Now, at some point that day, Natalie made a decision. She chose to see the valley from above. She signed up for a zipline experience known as Flight of the Condor, one of the longest in the region, stretching across the Sacred Valley, offering sweeping views of the landscape below. It was the kind of experience travelers seek out, a brief moment of adrenaline, a different perspective, a story to take home. Now, the operation was run by two young men, Luzgardo Pilco Amau and Heinor Hulka. Their story is that Natalie clipped into the line, and somewhere between the moment her feet left the ground and the moment she was supposed to arrive on the other side, something happened. Because after that, no one ever saw her again. Now back in Spain, the first sign that something was wrong wasn't a call. It was the absence of one. Too much time passed without a message, without an update, without anything at all. And Natalie's family knew her well enough to understand that silence didn't fit. She was independent, yes, but she stayed connected. When the owner of the hostel confirmed that Natalie had not returned, that she had not come back after leaving that morning, that quiet concern became something heavier. It became fear. Now still, even in that moment, getting help was not immediate. It took 78 hours before Natalie's family was able to file an official missing persons report. And when they reached out to authorities, the response they received was not urgency. It was dismissal. Now, at one point, they were told that Natalie was probably somewhere in the mountains high on drugs and that she would eventually turn up on her own. But Natalie didn't turn up. Instead, the case took a sudden and deeply unsettling turn. Peruvian authorities announced that Natalie was dead and that two men had been arrested. The same two men connected to the zipline she had gone on that day. Now, they had told investigators that it had been an accident. But from the beginning, their version of events didn't hold steady. One man claimed Natalie had hit her head on a pole during the ride. The other told a different story entirely, that the other man had joined her midline and the cable failed under the weight and that the fall had killed Natalie while injuring him. Two versions of the same moment, and neither one was fully aligning. But what they both agreed on was what happened next. Now, they said they panicked, and instead of calling for help, instead of taking her to a hospital, instead of doing anything that might have preserved her life or clarified what happened, they took her body to a remote area and threw her into the Urubamba River. That's a river that moves with force through the Sacred Valley, a river capable of carrying a body for miles, breaking it down, scattering evidence, leaving almost nothing behind. Authorities launched a search effort, but it didn't last. After just 15 days, the official search was called off. citing a lack of resources. There is no funding, no personnel, and no ability to continue. And that's where the official story begins to unravel. Because despite these confessions, the charges brought against the men were not for murder. They were charged with concealment of a corpse. Which raises a question that lingers beneath everything else. If this was truly a fatal accident, why couldn't authorities prove how Natalie died? Or even prove with certainty that she did die? Because the truth is, Natalie Salazar's body has never been found. Not in the river, not along its banks, not anywhere in the Sacred Valley. And in a case like this, that absence changes everything. Without a body, there's no confirmed cause of death, no definitive timeline, no way to fully test the story that's been told. But then, more details began to surface. Natalie's selfie stick, something she carried with her throughout her travels, was later found inside the home of one of the men involved. Now, it's a small detail, but a very important one. Because if everything had happened the way they said it did, quickly, accidentally, and in a moment of panic, why take anything at all? And then came something even more unsettling. There were reports, never fully confirmed but persistent, that Natalie may have been seen in Morris hours after the time the men claimed she had died. Seen at a gathering, at a celebration, alive. And if that's true, then the timeline collapses entirely. For Natalie's family, that possibility never disappeared. Her mother, Alejandra, began to consider something even more complex and more terrifying. That Natalie may not have died that day at all. That she could have been drugged, taken, moved somewhere else. Possibly into something far more organized. A trafficking network. That's a theory that many people dismiss. But when there's no body, no clear timeline, no consistent story, what remains are possibilities. And Natalie's family refused to accept an ending without answers. They traveled to Peru. They raised money. They organized their own search efforts, returning again and again, 5 separate times. They climbed mountains over 5,000 meters high, searched riverbanks, worked alongside local communities, volunteers, mountaineers, and the Red Cross. Because for them, this wasn't a closed case. It was their daughter. And maybe the most haunting part of all is that the men involved did not expect any of this. They did not expect a massive search. They did not expect international attention. They did not expect a family that would refuse to stop. They hid her body because they actually thought no one would be searching for her. That no one would really notice because she was traveling alone. They were wrong. And yet years later, despite confessions, arrests, searches that spanned years in terrain that most people would never cross, Natalie Salazar has never been found. And what happened to her in that single moment suspended above Sacred Valley remains unknown.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hurry into Menards right now and save big money. Miracle-Gro Raised Bed Soil helps you grow bigger, more bountiful plants. It provides the right foundation your plants need to thrive with a 100% organic formula that requires no mixing. Add Miracle-Gro Raised Bed Soil to help your plants grow with organic nutrients you can count on. Visit our garden center or check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
When you step back and really look at Natalie Salazar's case, not just the headlines, not just the official version, but everything, it becomes clear pretty quickly that the entire story rests on one thing. The word of two men who say they know what happened. And that's a problem. Because the truth is, the people who are involved in something like this don't usually just come out and tell the full, honest story. Not in a clean, straightforward way. Not when there's something to lose. Stories get shaped, details get softened, and things get left out entirely. In this case, those two men, Luzgardo and Haenor, did talk, but they didn't agree. And when it came to the actual moment where Natalie supposedly died, their stories didn't just differ slightly. They told two completely different versions of events. One said she hit her head on a pole during the ride, framing it as a sudden tragic accident. The other described something entirely different. A failure of the line, a fall, a situation that unfolded in a completely different way. So right away, you're left asking a very simple question. How can two people who are both there not be able to tell the same story? And that puts you in a really uncomfortable position as someone trying to understand what happened. Because you're forced to decide. Do you believe one of them? Do you pick a version that feels more plausible? Or do you take a step back and consider that maybe neither of them is telling the truth? Because the only part of their stories that actually lines up is what they say happened after. Now, they both claim Natalie died, and they both claim they threw her body into the river. And honestly, that's where things start to feel even more off. Because if that's true, if they really did dump her body into the river, then where is she? There has never been a body, no remains, no clothing, no trace of Natalie at all. And when you really sit with that, it raises questions that are hard to ignore. If you're in a remote area surrounded by miles of mountains and open land, terrain that stretches endlessly in every direction, would a river really be your first choice to hide a body? There are so many places where a body could be buried, hidden, left somewhere that might never be discovered. And even if they did choose the river, if that really was their plan, wouldn't they have made sure she stayed down there? Wouldn't they weigh her down? Wouldn't they take extra steps to make sure she didn't resurface? But according to their own statements, they just threw her in, and that was it. No added effort, no follow-through, no attempt to control what would happen next. And somehow, years later, there's still nothing. Which makes you wonder, is "we threw her in the river" just the easiest story to tell? Because if there's no body, there's no proof, no forensic evidence, no way to confirm or challenge what they're saying, no way to reconstruct the timeline with any real certainty. And at that point, everything depends on their word. And their word is already inconsistent. Now, there's also another possibility here. One that's harder to talk about, but impossible to ignore once you start thinking about it. If Natalie wasn't killed in that moment, if something else happened, if she was taken and handed off to someone else, they would have never admitted that. Because that kind of truth doesn't come with prison time. It comes with consequences that follow you. Consequences that don't end when a sentence does. It affects your family, your community, and your safety. Being connected to something like trafficking would carry a level of stigma that doesn't go away. It would mark them and everyone around them permanently. But an accident? Well, an accident changes the narrative. It reframes everything as panic, a mistake, as something that got out of control rather than something intentional. And if there was anything bigger going on, anything beyond what they admitted, then staying quiet wouldn't just be about avoiding legal consequences. It would be about survival. So then, you look at what actually happened to these two men. Haenor Hylke, the man who reportedly drove Natalie to the zipline and acted as an instructor despite having no formal training, was sentenced to 11 years in prison. But even that sentence didn't fully play out the way you might expect. It was reduced. He received benefits for studying while incarcerated. He was able to shorten his time to 7 years and 8 months. And even with the conditions set by the judge, conditions that required him to reveal where Natalie is and to pay compensation, he never fulfilled them. He never told anyone where she is. He never gave her family the one thing they've been asking for from the very beginning. And the other man, Luzgardo Pilko Amau, served almost his entire sentence, but not because of the seriousness of the crime. He remained in prison longer because he was caught using a cell phone. And that detail is unsettling. because while he was in prison, he created a Facebook account. And from that account, he sent a friend request to Natalie's sister, Tamara. Now just think about that for a second. Years after Natalie disappeared, with no answers, no closure, one of the men connected to her case reaches out like that. And now he's free. Both of them are. And neither of them has ever said where Natalie is. So her family is still left in this place, waiting, searching, holding on to whatever small thread might lead somewhere. But then somehow, there was one last thread. Heinor Hilke has requested that his criminal record be expunged. Because he wants to move forward. He wants to continue studying. And he wants to become a police officer. No joke. But that request might be the only leverage left. Because Natalie's family has asked prosecutors not to approve it unless he tells the truth. Unless he reveals what really happened. Unless he finally says where their daughter is. We're down to the last possible moment where something could still come out. The last chance for answers. Because after everything, the conflicting stories, the missing body, the years of searching with no resolution, this case does not feel finished. It feels like something is still being held back. And until that truth comes out, what happened to Natalie Salazar is still unknown.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America. Discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at chumbacasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Whenever I cover a story like Natalie's, there's always this moment where I stop and think, what would I do differently? And not in a judgmental way. Not in a she should have known way. But the truth is, Natalie was doing exactly what so many of us dream about doing. Traveling, exploring, saying yes to new experiences. But her story does shift the way you look at certain choices. It makes you more aware of the small decisions that don't feel important in the moment, but can become everything later on. Especially in a place like Peru. Because traveling through Peru, and especially through the Sacred Valley, is incredible. It's one of those places that feels layered. You have history, culture, landscapes that don't feel real. But you also have long distances, rural areas, and varying levels of infrastructure depending on where you are. And that means you have to travel a little differently. If you're moving through the Sacred Valley, places like Moray or the Mars salt mines, you're often not in a city environment. You're in open terrain. You're relying on transportation, local guides, or tours. And sometimes those setups can be informal. So one of the biggest things I always come back to is this. Know exactly who you're with. Especially who you're booking with. Not just, do they have good reviews? But who are they really? Are they licensed? Are they insured? Do they have consistent, verifiable reviews across multiple platforms? Do other travelers mention safety or just fun? Because excursions like ziplining are one of those things that feels universally safe, until they're not. Now, ziplining itself as an activity, like I said, is generally considered safe. But that safety depends entirely on the company running it. You want trained guides, proper equipment, clear safety briefings, weight checks, harness checks, backup systems. And if any of that feels rushed, unclear, or casual, well, that's your sign. Because when you step off that platform, you're putting your life literally into that system. And you should feel confident in it. Another thing that stands out in Natalie's case is how independent she was. which is something I can relate to. I travel the same way. I don't always want to wait for other people. I don't want to miss experiences because no one else is available. But traveling solo, especially as a woman, does require a different level of awareness. Not fear, just awareness. If you're staying in hostels, which Natalie was, hostels can be amazing. They're social, affordable, and honestly one of the best ways to meet people. But they also vary a lot. So I always think about, is it well-reviewed specifically for safety, not just the vibe? Do they have 24-hour staff or security? Are there lockers, cameras, controlled access? And one of the biggest things, always tell someone your plan, even if it feels unnecessary, even if it feels like overkill. Let someone know where you're going, what time you expect to be back, and who you're going with. Because in Natalie's case, the timeline only became clear after she didn't return. And time matters in situations like that. Now, the other thing is transportation. How are you getting to these excursions? Is it arranged through the hostel, through a verified company, or through someone you just met? Again, not saying you shouldn't trust people, but there's a difference between being open and being traceable. You want there to be a record, something that shows who you left with, where you were supposed to go, and who is responsible for getting you back. And then there's something that's harder to explain, but just as important. And that's your instincts. If something feels off, even slightly, that matters. If the energy changes, if something feels disorganized, if people are acting casually about safety, you can leave. I know, it can be awkward, even if you've already paid, even if you feel like you're overreacting. Because the cost of leaving is always less than the cost of staying in a situation that isn't right. And I think about that a lot with Natalie. Because from everything we know, nothing about that morning felt unusual. It was a normal day, a normal decision, a normal activity. Which is exactly why this case hits so hard. Because it reminds you that sometimes the risk isn't obvious. Sometimes it looks like a beautiful landscape, a bucket list experience, a moment you've been waiting for. Most of the time, that's exactly what it is. But stories like Natalie's remind you to slow down just a little bit, to ask one more question, to double check one more detail, to let someone know where you're going. Not because you shouldn't go, but because you should come back. At the center of all this is a family that is still waiting. Waiting for an answer. Waiting for the truth. Waiting to bring their daughter home. Natalie Salazar didn't just disappear into a story. She's loved and missed. And she is still out there somewhere. Whether that means answers that haven't been given or a truth that hasn't been told. And to the two men who know what happened, Luz Gardo and Haynor, whatever version of events you've held on to all these years, it isn't enough. You served your time. You went back to your lives. But Natalie's family hasn't. They are still searching, still asking the same question they've been asking from the very beginning. Where is she? And at this point, the truth isn't about protecting yourselves anymore. It's about doing the one thing that should have been done from the start. Tell them where Natalie is. Because closure matters. Because answers matter. Because she deserves to be found. And until that happens, this story is not over. And finally, remember to leave a review and rate this podcast 5 stars if you like the show, or hell, even if you don't. But either way, feel free to let me know what you think. Please follow The Last Trip on Instagram at The Last Trip Crime Pod, and subscribe on Patreon to support the show. You'll get extra research, videos, photos, and updates, and even learn more about my personal travels. That's patreon.com/thelasttrippodcast. I'm Jamie Beebe, bringing you your last trip and signing off until the next one. Thanks for listening.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.